skies for amber. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls, because we have with us on the line from New England, Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're going to be talking about growth. Now, it's called smart growth, because who could be in favor of dumb growth? And yet, of course, the truth of the matter is, smart growth is simply a keyword for controlled growth, sustainable communities, taking away property rights, and regimenting the individual. Dr. Kaufman, are you there?
Yes, I am, Stan. Glad to be back with you.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you, and I think that they are so clever in the use of words. I mean, who could oppose smart growth, because the opposite of that is dumb growth, and who would ever want to admit that they were in favor of that? And yet, could you explain to our listeners what's wrong with smart growth?
Well, smart growth promises all kinds of things. It promises that you're going to have more affordable housing, that you can work, you live closer to where you work, and that you, and it will reduce congestion, air pollution, and that it'll give you a better quality of living. And unfortunately, it, because it depends upon control of private property rights, and private property rights are the very essence of freedom, it does not work. Not only does it not work, but it actually creates the very nightmares it promises it's going to solve. And as a result, what we have now is a fire flaming across America, enticing city councils and county commissioners and so forth with this idea that they can plan to be grow smart, and in the process do all these things for their citizens and so forth, and all it does is wind up costing them about three times as much for government and creates nightmares and misery for the people.
Well, of course, they have some of these sustainable communities. I've seen them over in San Jose. And what they do is they'll have the stores on the bottom floor, and then the second floor or the third floor is where you work, and then the upper floors is where you live. And, of course, there's restaurants there, and there's a hospital there, or medical facilities. Everything that you need is right in that area. And so that you could be, won't have to travel. You can get around on a bicycle. And, of course, you can also be watched and controlled. They don't want to tell you that, but that's a real objective. But then you'll have just some little apartment there. And when you have a little apartment, you won't be using so much heat and electricity, so much natural gas. They can regulate the amount of water that you use. They can watch you, and they'll know everything about you, just as they do in any totalitarian country. And people said, well, nobody would anticipate. Nobody would do that here. And I would point out that, you know, when you conquer a country, the first thing you do is you go in and you disarm the people. What are they doing here in America? What are they doing here in California? They're disarming the people. Why? Are they really concerned about crime? No, if you look at the areas where they have a right to carry laws, they have less crime. So it's really about control. And I think it's so important you understand what smart growth is all about. And when we get back, we'll be talking to Dr. Michael Kaufman. This is a program that is sweeping across America. It is well planned. It is well conceived. And the average individual has absolutely no idea what this is all about, because Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw, Bill Riley, and Rush Limbaugh are not going to tell you what this is, what's happening. They're paid fabulous salaries not to reveal the truth, but to conceal it from the American people. We'll be back in just a moment here with our special guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman. Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and Dr. Kaufman is with us this afternoon talking about smart growth. And Dr. Kaufman, could you, for our new audience, which has just joined us, explain what smart growth is and why people all across America should be concerned about it?
Well, smart growth is this idea that if we can control how growth occurs in different communities, you can begin to put higher density houses in, get the traffic reduced because people are walking and bicycling more to work and to where they buy their groceries and clothes and so forth. They reduce air pollution. They reduce all, produce all these very beneficial things supposedly for society. The problem is it doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's a planned society. Whenever you try to have a planned society of this magnitude, and I'm not saying there can't be planned communities, that you know what you're buying into when you buy the house or buy the lot or whatever the case might be. You know exactly what you're trying to accomplish in that planned community, and it may be what you desire. Many people do like to live very close to their to where they have to work or where they are going to go shopping and so forth, and that's fine. There's plenty of room for those kinds of dwellings where you have mixed uses of both residence and workplace and so forth, but not everybody wants that. And as a result, it is spelling the death knell of the American dream. Not only that, but it's raising the cost, sometimes tremendously, unbelievably, of the communities to live in the communities in which this is happening.
Well, now, is this being introduced all across America?
It is being introduced all across America. Up until the early 1990s, it was primarily in the major cities like New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, those types of cities that were attempting to reorganize themselves to be more effective, to reopen up their downtowns and so forth. But now it is sweeping across America, largely because, and if you remember reading, I believe it's Chapter 7 of Agenda 21, Stan, it calls for applying this kind of controls over growth all around the world. And the President's Council on Sustainable Development, which was created in 1993 following the Earth Summit in 1992, actually has a whole workbook describing how to implement this kind of growth, which ultimately they call smart growth. And it was implemented, HUD, the Housing Urban Development Group, in about 2 years ago, sponsored a writing of a legislative guidebook called the Growing Smart Legislative Guidebook, the Model Status.
Hold that thought right there, because we're going to have some more stations come on board. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and Dr. Kaufman is telling us how this whole system has been put together. Agenda 21 is really the sort of the master plan, and Agenda 21 was put together by a group of elitists at the Second Earth Summit in 1972, and these are the people, the wealthiest people in the world, the people, the head CEOs of corporations and banks, and they believe that they know what's best for us common folks. So they put together these various plans, the Kyoto Protocol and the Biodiversity Treaty, the Desertification Treaty, but the master plan was really laid out in the Global Biodiversity Assessment, and the Agenda 21 was how you would implement this. And of course, one of the important things is smart growth, and with that, why we are going to control the growth of communities, and how are we going to get people in from the outlying areas into these controlled areas, Dr. Kaufman?
Well, generally speaking, if you would... And this is what's so amazing, Stan, is that communities and states where it's now being required to have this kind of approach, like Oregon, the state of Oregon, and especially the city of Portland, they actually have a city or a rural-urban boundary upon which all development occurs within that boundary, and anybody that's left out in the outlying areas is out of luck. Their land is kept in agriculture, and you can go 200 feet across the urban boundary and have land worth $200,000 to $1 million an acre, and they're worth $500 to $1,000 an acre. It's totally and artificially disproportionate, and it's forcing people on the inside to go into multi-family dwellings because they can't afford $1 million for an acre of land or $500,000 for half an acre of land or whatever the case might be. So they go into multi-family dwellings, totally denying them the American dream of having a single-family suburban type of home. It's tragic.
And so they really won't allow then people to, they may have 100 acres, but you can only have one house on it, and they restrict the growth that way, and they're saying, oh, we don't want to lose the farmland, and oh, we've got to protect the farmland. That's not what it's about at all, because they're planning on bringing in most of our agricultural from other countries when we take down the tariff barrier, but they can't let the American people know that, and certainly not the farmers,
right.
So they're going to impoverish our farmers, but of course this is all about control.
It is, and another thing that just it blows your mind when you realize it, one of the very strong points that they make is that we need to protect our agricultural land, just as you alluded to a moment ago, when in fact urban America, 77% of the American people live in 2.5% of the American landscape in urban areas. The rest of America is all basically rural, or what they call developed. These would be your highways, airports, and those sorts of things. And the rest of it's rural. They basically have almost about 98%, well, let's just say even 95%. Let's use the number 95%. 95% of the American landscape is rural. There is no danger of losing all of our agricultural land, and yet that is one of the biggest carrots they hand out to draw these urban rural boundaries that benefit some people tremendously and destroy other people.
And I think it's so important for our listeners to understand when they talk about, oh, we've just got to protect that farmland, we need that to grow food. The plan is, by taking down our agricultural boundaries in this country, that most of our food is going to be imported yeah. from other countries where labor is so very, very cheap, and our farmers are not going to be able to compete, and they're simply going to lose their land. They create these problems, and this is done very specifically. We could see this with the natural gas phenomenon. Now, natural gas has always been very cheap in America until the government got involved, and the real agenda was to drive the price up so high that the average American wouldn't be able to utilize it, or if they did, would use very little, because they want to limit our use of natural gas and electricity and really of almost everything else. So what the government did, it came in and said, oh, well, we can't have these electric plants burning coal and polluting the environment, even though they can produce them now with almost no pollution at all. No, we're all going to shift over to natural gas. So they shifted all across America the plants that created electricity to natural gas, and suddenly there's a shortage of natural gas, the price goes way up, and they say, oh shucks, well the price is so high, but so what do the people do? They've got to turn down their thermostats and go without heat in many instances. They've done the same thing with electricity. They sold the idea of we're going to lower the price of electricity here in California, knowing full well that the deregulation wasn't going to work. How do you deregulate a monopoly? Because that's what electricity is, and what they've done is doubled or tripled the cost of electricity for many people here in California. There's another $20 billion we're going to have to pay off, and that's going to come out of the pocketbooks of the average American. If you understand, they want to limit our use of electricity and natural gas and cars and drive up the cost of fuel. All this is long-range planning, but they can't let the common folks know. And what they really want to do is control where you live, how you live, what you do, every aspect of your life. Would that be a fair statement?
That would be an exact statement, because that is exactly what they're doing. There is no justification whatsoever for smart growth based on maintaining the liberties of individuals, to reduce the cost of living, to reduce or to maximize the efficiency of a community and so forth. None of those are served by smart growth. In fact, smart growth will almost always exacerbate the problems that we just discussed.
And of course, the whole idea, the real plan, is to drive down the living standards of the people here in the United country, but we can't tell the American people that, so we've got to make them think, oh, we're from the government, we are the planners, we're here to help, but we're transferring our jobs overseas, we're transferring our factories overseas, we're transferring the maintenance on so many of our products for our computers, doesn't matter what it would be. AT&T is moving their offices overseas, Bank of America, most of our major banks are moving anything they can overseas where they can get it done so much more cheaply. And pretty soon we're going to have people living in little apartments shivering in the cold because they're not going to have the money to pay for the electricity or for the gas. But we can't let the American people know until it's too late, until globalization has gone on past the point of no return, which we may already have reached.
Well, it could very well be, and that's what concerns me a great deal, Stan, because what we're looking at right now is a situation of control where many of our industrial jobs have moved overseas, many of our white-collar jobs that used to be in this country are now overseas, just as you were describing, and we cannot live on a service industry. There's no way that that can happen, regardless of what you're told in your local newspapers and so forth. It just can't happen, and as a result, we cannot support or continue to support the standard of living that we have in this nation unless we bring back some of those jobs, reduce some of the non-essential environmental controls, the social controls, and all that has been put on us over the last 20 to 30 years.
Well, I think the biggest thing, Dr. Kaufman, is to make people understand that freedom, is the most important thing, and this is an attack on freedom. Without freedom, life has really very little meaning, and they intend to take away our freedom just a little bit at a time, and the great tragedy is the students who are being trained in our schools today don't even understand that liberty and limited government are synonymous, and that freedom is gradually taken away, that every time you pass a law, you take away a little freedom, and when you pass enough laws, there is no freedom left.
That's right. If you consider that Al Gore's making government more efficient, the only way that government can become more efficient is by taking the liberty away from individuals. That's the only way it can happen. There's no other way. Yes, you can become more efficient by streamlining operations and so forth, but that's a very small part of what there's being planned. And a totalitarian government can be considered to be very, very efficient because the people have no rights. They can't cause any problems for the government. The government has all the power, and therefore it's very efficient. And unless we begin to realize that, unless our students that are being told that we must have more and more government controls lest we destroy the environment or destroy the community or destroy this or destroy that, unless they begin to realize that in the process they're losing their fundamental liberties, their ability to create wealth, all of the things that has made America great, we will be a third world nation in another generation or two.
Oh, I don't think we have another generation to go, not at the rate they're shipping our jobs overseas. Well, our telephone number here is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And really the only reason that we're not in a profound depression right now is this massive debt that we are accumulating. We are going to have a federal debt of over $500 billion next year, and that doesn't include all the money they're going to steal from Social Security and Medicare, so it'll actually be closer to $750 billion. People have no concept of what that amount of money is, but you and I could live pretty well if we were living on borrowed money, and that's exactly what the American people are doing.
As long as we didn't have to pay it back, Stan.
But unfortunately, we're going to have to pay it back. Here in California, our great new governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who the darling of everybody, has a wonderful plan. We're going to balance the budget. We're not going to cut spending. We're going to borrow $15 billion in bonds paid off over the next 15 years. But what happens next year? I mean, if you don't cut spending, then you're going to have another $15 billion deficit. And, of course, Arnold Schwarzenegger has no intention of doing what really needs to be done to solve the problem. He's just going to put a little frosting on the cake and hope that the people of California won't realize what's happened until it's far too late.
Absolutely.
Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman. Dr. Kaufman, what about your website? How can people get in touch with you?
Well, they can get a hold of me at www.discerningtoday.org. That's discerningtoday.org, or calling us at 1-800-799-9878.
799-9878. And that's 800?
That's correct.
800-799-9878. Dr. Kaufman's got a lot of great information going into this whole Agenda 21 globalization and of course smart growth. But then who would be in favor of dumb growth? We'll be right back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the blast blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. By the time you reach the retirement years, the average American will be taking 7 different prescription medications. Wouldn't it be nice to stay healthy and avoid taking all those pills? One unusual molecule has been shown to be effective in maintaining health, allicin, the active ingredient in fresh garlic. You won't find much allicin in regular store-bought garlic pills, but you will in Alimax, the only 100% pure allicin garlic extract now being imported from Britain. Call 866-405-4000 to learn more about Alimax. That's 866-405-4000.
Alimax. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and this is the time I want to tell you about some of the items that we carry that we hope that many of you will want to get. One of them, of course, is called Phonopoly. And Phonopoly is a program that's designed to teach your children or your grandchildren or you how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's basically 5 board games that you play like Monopoly. And then, of course, there's 2 bonus games. We throw in a couple of books, and it's a fun game. But in the process, you learn the 40 sounds of the English language. You learn the 12 basic rules. And once you know the rules and the sounds, why, you can put words together, you can spell words, and you can understand why words have the spelling that they do. It's all very logical once you understand, but unfortunately nobody has been teaching this in our schools for the last 50 years. So if you'd like to get a Phonopoly set, let me suggest you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. There are $139.95. Most of these programs that teach you or your children how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically are $300, $400, $500, $600, $800. This is $139.95, and we recommend it very, very strongly. And then we also carry the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum for children that covers from grammar school to high school graduation for $199.95. That's the entire cost. It's on 22 CDs. You get on the computer. You don't let your child on the computer. They're not to be on the computer. They're to be reading and studying and learning to, understand what the world's all about, not playing with a computer. But everything is there that you need, but the Saxon math textbooks. The child more or less teaches themselves. It doesn't take a lot of time on your part other than reading an essay once a week and making sure that they're getting their schoolwork done. But you owe it to your child to get them out of government schools because, believe me, they are aimed at destroying their belief in God, their belief in family, and their belief in country. The government schools are one of the greatest menaces to the freedom of America today. They're not educating, they're indoctrinating. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask for... Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're really talking about this whole idea of smart growth, and really it's a planned community, and we even see some examples of that here in Santa Cruz with the stores on the bottom floor and then the living areas up above. But it's to get the people very close together so they've been watched and controlled. That's the real objective of it. and you have a big house, you're going to use more in the way of natural gas. We don't want you using natural gas. We're going to drive the price up to the point you can't afford it. We don't want you using a lot of electricity. We don't want you using a lot of water. And we're going to, of course, create artificial water shortages by blocking efforts to solve the problem. All we want is the problem, because when we have the problem, we can control you. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question or comment, our number, 1-800-544-8927, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, or here in the Central Coast of California, I'm sorry, if you want to call in, it's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, Dr. Kaufman, are people aware of what's happening? I know you were put on a conference with some of my good friends, Tom DeWeese and others, trying to awaken people to what this is really all about, because it's really all about control, isn't it?
It is all about control, Stan, and I would say that the vast majority of people do not have a clue as to what's happening to them in this whole issue of smart growth. They don't realize that their liberties are being taken away, stripped away, slowly but surely. They don't realize that they're, in some cases, the people that are within these urban rural growth boundaries are actually making out like bandits, because their value of their property skyrockets 100, 200, 300% because there's no place to build. And they're benefiting from this, not realizing that in the long run, this is not sustainable. You cannot continue to escalate costs like this. The Harvard has done a research study on this and found that in many cases where you have these kinds of planned developments, your cost of a quarter acre, a lot, is somewhere between $100,000 and $600,000 just because of regulations. It has nothing to do with the normally high price of your land anyway because of the location. It's just purely regulation. Then you add on top of that the whole concept of this light rail phenomenon that seems to be spreading across America, where the government pays billions of dollars to put in a light rail under the idea that the cost for putting in a mile of light rail is much cheaper than putting in a mile of 4 or 6 lane interstate highway standards. And they're true. It is cheaper to build light rail. But the fact is that only 2 to 5% of the population ever uses light rail because it doesn't go where they want to go. And as a consequence, your rider cost, the cost per ride in light rail, averages around $20 per ride, even though you're only paying about a buck. And the rest of that is paid by your taxes, your tax dollars. You can buy, interestingly enough, you can buy an automobile for each one of those riders, pay for it completely, and then have money left over to pay for a full mortgage in some of the highest cost of living real estate in the United States for the cost of what you're doing to support that light rail. It is absurd. It is uncanny how the government can waste, and I mean this is just gross waste.
I remember they used to talk about Amtrak, and they said, you know, if we just did away with Amtrak and bought everybody who wanted to use Amtrak an airline ticket, and the government would buy it for them, would actually save money.
Yeah.
And all of this is simply, the planners say that this should work, and the fact that it doesn't work doesn't seem to matter. Here in California, why are they putting in bike trails? Because they really want to get us onto bicycles. They're talking about, we've got to expand the buses, but the people don't want to ride the buses. We've got buses going all over empty, and they've been doing this for 20 years and belching out their black smoke, polluting the area, but that doesn't really matter. They keep saying, you think that black smoke is producing smog. You just don't understand. You're not educated like we are. Well, and then about 2 years ago, then they started saying the major cause of pollution is diesel. That's why we got to bring that under control. And for all these years, they've been lying to us?
Yeah.
Yes, they've been lying.
They have been lying. You know, I was in Los Angeles over Thanksgiving for about a week and a half, and my son was with me, and we passed some of these light rail cars going back in the east and west and north and south. And I said, count the number of people on each one of those cars. And at the most, there might have been 5 or 6 people on a car. The rest of it was, you know, all the 50 or so seats were empty. It was a total waste of our taxpayers' dollars.
But of course, the bureaucrats will never admit that they're wrong. The planners will never admit they're wrong. It's the people. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Well, we'll come up with a solution for that. We'll be back. We'll drive the price of gas up so high they won't be able to. They'll be forced to do what we want them to. We'll be right back here in just a moment at Radio Liberty and welcome your calls. 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY.
Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four tapes set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I want to mention the Institute of the Constitution. This is a plan on the Constitution, the Institute on the Constitution. It's a plan program so that you can learn about our Christian heritage, and then you can teach others. And it's videos. I think there are 3 or 4 videos. Anyway, there are 12 half-hour lectures given by Dr. John Eismo. There are a couple of talks by Dr. David Barton or by Mr. David Barton. And then there's a syllabus that tells you all the questions to ask, the answers to the questions. And it's designed to teach the American people about our heritage. Now, they've deliberately dumbed down successive generations of people because the last thing they want the American people to know is we were formed as a Christian nation. And up until recently, everybody in the world knew we were a Christian nation. And then, of course, Masons took over the Supreme Court and took God and prayer and all of those things out of our schools. And the fact that the Masons controlled the United States Supreme Court from 1941 to 1971 with majorities of 5-4 to 8-1 is never mentioned by anybody in America. Why? Because they're quite frankly afraid to talk about the Masons, because they, of course, very often will eliminate the people who get in their way or expose the truth. In fact, if you are a Mason and you ever reveal any of the secrets, you could expect to be killed. Could that happen in America today? Well, I will tell you that many of the Masons I've talked to have sworn the horrible, bloody oaths that they are required to take will not come on the air because they live in constant fear. And when you have pledged yourself that you want the light to come into your life, and you learn that that life is Lucifer, why, it gives you a whole different outlook. And if you want to get the background, get our book called The Brotherhood of Darkness. It's available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and then join the Institute on the Constitution. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, and if you want to document any of the things I was just saying, you need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and the documentation for everything we said during the break is there. You can go to their literature and find out what they say and about their controls, and you can even go up on the Internet, as I did today, and look up the Supreme Court and Masonry, and you'll find out how in 1949, why... 8 of the 9 justices there in the United States Supreme Court came from the Lodge, from the Brotherhood, the secret Brotherhood. Well, our guest this afternoon is Dr. Michael Kaufman, and we're talking about sustainable development, but we're really talking about this concept of smart growth. What are you doing to try to get information on smart growth out across America?
Well, as you just mentioned before your ad, Stan, that there are several of us, including Tom DeWeese, that are putting together a DVD about the whole Smart Growth Sustainable Development Agenda. It won't be out probably until late February, early March of next year, because there's a lot of editing, condensing, and so forth that we want to do on it. But hopefully, because of the type of background proof that we have on this, it will be a dynamite CD. It'll actually be two DVDs that can be used in your community to show people how damaging this whole concept of sustainable development truly is. Because it does control us, just like we've been talking about this entire hour. It's designed to control us without providing any of the benefits that it promises. And you know, when I was in South Africa a year and a half ago, Stan, at the World Summit on Sustainable Development, there were a lot of people from the third world nations that fully understood this. When we were on a march one day, and I was giving interviews to the international press about this very issue, I would get hugs afterwards from these people that came from India or from someplace else in Africa or Southern Asia someplace, that fully understood the concept of private property rights and free enterprise. They understood it much, much more succinctly and correctly than 99.9% of the American people.
Isn't that amazing that the people, from darkest Africa, people without a lot of education, understand much more about freedom than the American people do?
Yes, they do.
And they understand the importance of property rights that we are giving up here so readily, without an understanding that there is no freedom if you don't own your property. And when the government can come in and harass you or take away your property because there's a snail or a moth or something on your property, you don't own that property. They can come in and feign anything they want to and harass you until you're willing to sell it at a fraction of what it's worth. And this is organized by the great tax-exempt foundations and the environmentalists, and the media is not telling the people what's going on. And then, after all, most people really aren't concerned as long as it's somebody else that's losing their property or their savings or their right to be free.
That's right. And what we need to recognize, one of the things that I glommed onto when I was preparing for this DVD production this past weekend is the fact that there is a direct correlation between a nation's income and a nation's wealth and an individual's income and their ability to own private property and use it freely. And, there's a lot of caveats that go into this and understand this, but the overriding factor for the average income of any nation is directly related to the freedom that they have in private property, use their private property, and how fast they can transfer their private property to a new owner and so forth, how fast they can get an equity loan and that type of thing. And if you think about it, the average American family the income is about $35,000-$36,000 a year. The average income for a European family who has much, much more socialist control than we do, that's where we're heading, but they already have them, is only $21,000. Think about that. That's the biggest difference, is the fact that we have a free market. It's not as socialistically controlled as Europe is, and that's the direction we're going. And the further we go towards that direction, the harder it's going to be for us to live. And then you get to the old former communist nations that had no private property rights at all. Their average income is less than $1,000 a year. It is staggering how important private property rights are, free market enterprise, and the liberties that we take so much for granted. It is staggering, and it shows up very clearly in the average income for a nation, the nation's wealth.
All right, well, what can we do to get the American people aware of the fact that there is an organized, orchestrated, coordinated effort to take away their property rights and gradually to force them into these sustainable communities? I mean, most people have a house and they say, well, nobody's going to get me out of my home, but we can have these massive fires. In fact, some of the people said that there in Southern California, a lot of those houses could have been saved, but orders were given not to try to save them. Well, a lot of those will not be rebuilt. They want to get the people here in the area where I live out of the rural areas by controlling their water. So they create all sorts of water problems, and then they talk and talk and talk, and they spend millions of dollars on studies, but never with any intention of solving the problem. They just want the problem, and that way they can control the people.
That's right. The more problems they can generate, the more they can control the people. And I think the solution, ultimately, Stan, is going to be in spreading the knowledge, and you have many very good products on sustainable development that they can make access to. You can your Brotherhood of Darkness is an excellent book to understand where all this is coming from. We're going to be putting out this two-set DVD probably late February, early March. Another good source of information that will just prove beyond a shadow of a doubt how controlling this whole agenda is and where it's coming from, because it's all coming from the international community.
We actually carry one of your little books. What is that little one about the global government?
It's called The Birth of World Government.
The Birth of World Government. Excellent book, which is available through Radio Liberty. And it's easy to read. It's got so much information in it, though.
I think so. And it will shock most people to realize what's going on behind the scenes that you have no idea of. The things that we came to almost a nuclear confrontation with Russia back in the year 2000 or 1999. And it just, all of these kinds of things that are going on that we do not have any knowledge of because we're just the common cattle out on the range. We don't need to know all this high intrigue stuff that's going on. We're protected from all that, supposedly, by all of the things that are going on in the White House, even the current White House.
Well, I think that there is so much that people need to understand about this, and so much of this really comes out of the Second Earth Summit back in 1992, and we have a wonderful syllabus. It's called Sustainable Development. You'll actually read the summary of their plan on water. You'll read the summary of their plan to kill off most of the world's population. You'll read the summary of their plan for sustainable development. We've got Herman calling from Carmel. Hi, Herman. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, fascinating program. I had a question for the doctor, and that is there any country in the world today that is moving in the other direction, and that is towards more freedom, more private property rights?
That is what is so sad about this. The United States is probably the last hope of the world, and we are definitely still moving very rapidly towards this goal. It's just that the rest of the world has outstripped us and is already 10 to 15 years ahead of us on accomplishing many of these socialist, communist types of laws that will control you and I in everything that we do. We're the last hope, and it's basically up to us to get the word out so that more and more people, we only need about 10% or less of the American people that is fully aware of this agenda, and the whole thing will implode on itself.
And I really believe that is true, but education is the key, Herman. And if we can't reach the people, then why, we will fail. Right now we do have at least access to the alternative media, and there are many people besides ourselves who are out there getting this message out. And certainly Dr. Kaufman's on the front lines of that battle.
Great.
Do you have another question, Herman?
Well, I just want to encourage those listeners who listen often to also support the programs.
Okay, God bless you.
Thanks
so much. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Herman calling from Carmel. And if you're out there across America, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And I was just talking about the Sustainable Development Syllabus. You'll even see pictures of the Georgia Guidestones in that syllabus where they talk about maintaining the world population at 500 million in constant balance with nature. But the only way you're going to do that is to kill off 90% of the world's population. And the hardest thing for the average individual to believe is there really are people out there who are totally unconcerned about human life or human suffering. And many of those are not in communist China or in Russia. They're living and working right here in the United States. Have you run into this, Dr. Kaufman?
Oh, yes. There's no question of this. And you know, going back to the first part of your statement there, back when I first got started in the late 1980s and early 1990s on this agenda, before I was well-known, these people you won't even get within 100 feet of me anymore, but just like they probably won't with you. But at that time, they didn't know me, and I would be invited to these get-togethers and so forth, and I would have the opportunity of talking with them as to what their plans were. And I remember one party down in Florida that I was attending, and there weren't the high ups, but there were middle ranking environmental leaders and so forth, and we got to talking about population control, the need for reducing the population by 50 to 80%. And I said, well, you know, if if it's really that important to for these people to offer themselves up on the altar of nature, why don't you be the first to volunteer? I mean, I actually said that, and the person, there was two or three people that night I talked to about this, and their common reaction was literally astonishment. They hadn't even thought of that as a possibility. Literally had not even thought about it, and the reason why is because somebody had to be around to make sure it was done right. Now, this is evil beyond anything that you could imagine. They don't consider themselves evil. They think it's a necessity to save planet Earth, but it is unbelievably evil.
And you only have to read Bertrand Russell's book, The Impact of Science on Society, where he talks about the importance of having a black plague sweep the earth every generation. Jacques Cousteau talks about how we're really going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day. Barbara Marx Huppert, who talks about how they're going to have to eliminate a quarter of the world population that will not evolve to a higher level, and that's not your job, my dear, that's ours, because we are the riders of the pale horse death, and we have all of these documentations. If you want to see them, you need to understand there really are people out there, David Foreman, who thinks AIDS is wonderful. He, of course, came from Earth First, and he wants to get the world population down to about 100 million, means he'll kill off over 98% of the world population. And there's a force behind David Foreman when he was arrested for trying to sabotage 5 nuclear power plants, why he got a $5,000 fine and he had to drop out of Earth First. If you or I were to do something like that, we'd go to prison indefinitely, and we deserve to. But there, behind all of these wicked people, there is a force, an invisible force. And that story I just told you is covered in Holly Swanson's excellent book, Set Up and Sold Out. That's Set Up and Sold Out, which we carry. You need to get it. You need to challenge and see if it's really true. If it is, then you need to be involved in helping to get the truth out. Well, what can the average listener out there do, Dr. Kaufman? Because we talk about all these problems, and people sit back and they say, well, it just sounds like there's nothing we can do. What can they do?
You know, you touched on it just a moment ago, Stan. We have to always recognize that this is a two-front battle. The front that we're seeing, it looks hopeless. We're outgunned, we're outnumbered, we're outspent, probably 10 to 1. There's no hope of winning that. But there is also a spiritual battle going on, and where God is involved, all things are possible. And I have seen this now twice, in very big ways. I saw it back in 1994, when there was just four of us, that stopped the Biodiversity Treaty from being ratified.
By the Senate, right.
By the U.S. Senate. Just an hour before they were scheduled to vote on it. I mean, it was a miracle. There's no question about it. Well, that's God. He's just using us as his instruments to throw monkey wrenches in the faces of these globalists, these international conspiratists, and so forth. Well, a year and a half ago at the World Summit on Sustainable Development there in Johannesburg, we worked, and I wasn't directly involved with this one, but there were hundreds of us that were there that were working with the U.S. State Department and the delegation there, trying to get them to remove the wording out of the final consensus document supporting the Earth Charter. And you know what? Right at the last instant, at 3 o'clock in the morning, the U.S. State Department, the delegation, forced that wording to be taken out, and the Earth Charter is not yet accepted by the United Nations, as they were hoping to do.
Well, would you like to explain to our listeners what the Earth Charter is? Because it is truly a diabolical document. As you know, it's sitting in the Ark of Hope, which is the mirror image of the Ark of the Covenant. And I believe, of course, it is a satanic document, the Mein Kampf of the evil people for a pagan control of the world. Could you explain the Earth Summit to our listeners?
Absolutely.
The Earth Charter,
if you're really interested in that, you need to get my video, Impeding Global Governance. That's Impeding Global Governance, because we did impede it at the World Summit on Sustainable Development a year and a half ago. And what the Earth Charter is, as you well know, Stan, is a document. It's kind of a statement of faith, as it were. It's based in pantheism. It came out in the 1992 Earth Summit, but it was so blatantly pantheistic and earth-worshipping that they could not get it to be signed And Mikhail Gorbachev, the former premier of the Soviet Union, and Maurice Strong, the multi-billionaire Maurice Strong, who was the secretary general of both the first and the second Earth summits in 1972 and 1992, were given the responsibility to sanitize the document, to make it more presentable to the world, but yet keep the teeth in it that nature is God, and that we must all act and put nature first before mankind's needs are met. It's full of ideas of reincarnation. It's full of ideas that we must, that the earth is alive and a sentient being. It's full of these very occultish types of concepts. And the Ark of Hope, as it's come out in the last year and a half and was down in Johannesburg, is chock full. I mean, just overflowing with occultish symbols and so forth. And the Ark of Hope is nothing more than a fake of the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant of God. And what we're seeing here is God's intervention once again in stopping this agenda from taking hold. It was not going to last forever because we ultimately know there will be a world religion. But so far, individual people just like you have been used to stop these. That's why it's important for you to be involved.
God bless you. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you being with us. Our guest has been Dr. Michael Kaufman. Would you like to get your website out and telephone number out one more time?
It's www.discerningtoday.org, discerningtoday.org, and 1-800-799-9878.
And let me suggest this video on the New World world Government. Thank you so much. Bye-bye and God bless.
God.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I just want to mention a couple of items which I think is so important. One of them is called Diaprax. It's a video, a 2-hour and 15-minute video presentation by my good friend Dr. Robert Klink, going into the church growth movement. Now, a lot of people say, what's wrong with the church growth movement? It really is successful. How do you dare criticize success? How do you criticize something God has blessed? Well, Michael Jackson is successful, but is God blessing him? Certainly, the Beatles were successful, but was that God's blessing? Well, I think that you need to see what's going on, and there's no better way to get this. I sat in trance for the full 2 hours watching Diaprax. It will change the way you look at the world, and you'll suddenly realize that we are seeing one of the most threatening movements that has ever challenged the church in the United States, and it's sweeping across America today, and literally thousands of churches are embracing it. Diaprax, get the video, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We have another wonderful new video. It's called Millennium, and we watched this. This is over 2 hours the other night. It is the best film going into the background of the spiritual battle we talk about, very, very professionally done. Many of my good friends are there, whether it be David Bay or Carol Patriciano or William Still. You'll want to see this video. It's something you can show to anybody. You don't have to be embarrassed. It's not amateurly done like so many of the videos we have. The music is great. The graphics are great. This video will really capture your heart and imagination. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That video is called Millennium. The other one's called Diaprax. You need to get this information. You need to help us inform others, and there's no better way than with these videos now available. Well, Dr. Stan here, and let me just comment on, we have two videos we were just telling our local audience about. One is called Diapraxis, the story of the church growth movement. Literally thousands of churches are going into church growth. What's wrong with the church growth movement? What's wrong with this idea of trying to bring people in and have reaching out into the community with God's message? And what's wrong with it is, of course, we're not giving God's message. If you see what is being suggested, they're changing the nature of God. No longer is God a God of fear, to be feared. No longer is God a God of justice. No longer is there any talk about sin or hell or eternal damnation. What we have is a cosmic Santa Claus that has replaced the God of the Bible. So let me suggest that you go ahead and order the video. It's called Diaprax, and it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV. War. And then, of course, we have other items here, which we hope that you'll want to get, that we think will really help you to understand what's going on. If you haven't read my book, A Brotherhood of Darkness, why order that? And then we have, of course, this video. It's called Megiddo, and I mispronounced it. It's not Millennium, it's Megiddo. But you'll want to get this video that really will give you the overview of the spiritual battle that's taking place today, and the fact that there really are demonic forces, organized demonic forces in the world today. So both Diaprax and Megiddo are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5 HIV War. Now, of course, we do hope that many of you out there in the listening audience will want to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours every day as we reach out across America on radio and shortwave and on satellite, on internet. And we do have a growing audience, but quite frankly, we do need your help to be able to reach more people. So if you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. I do want to mention just one more time the Phenopoly set, a program that will teach you and your children and your grandchildren how to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. It's a great program. Most of these programs designed to teach phonics are $300, $400, $500, $600. This is $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books with that. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and 2 books. And we think you'll really be pleased. And children can learn within about 16 hours of what they've spent so many years doing, dumbing them down in the government schools, and they can learn to read and spell and pronounce words phonetically. Again, it's called Phonopoly. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then we, of course, suggest you go to our website, radioliberty.com. You can see the various items we carry there. We do carry the Big Berkey products, and if you buy them through us, you get a 4-tape set or a video that we have actually produced. We can't give you any videos because some of them are too expensive, but if we produce it, like Diaprax, you can get that if you get the products through us. So the website is radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And then, of course, we hope that you'll tell others about our website, that you encourage people to listen to our programs there 5 hours every day, which they can do, or pull down our archive programs, to read our newsletters, and then to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, because we're on the front lines of this truly spiritual battle for the heart of America. So again, till tomorrow at the same time, when we'll be back with you, this is Dr. Stan saying goodbye, and may the Lord be with you.